HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
And of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars, the next one coming up in Orlando. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner and which are not. And we're going to talk about that a lot today. And, of course, you can automatically link to our Facebook page where our numbers of fans, by the way, keep growing and growing. And you can join in on our discussions about the show or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And, by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, no, it's not scary, and attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be linked on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, we have a new toll-free number. Remember, ATT converted the old one to a sex phone site, so we have a new one. The new number is 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, that's 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. And if you want to visit the law firm's website, please go to condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show we spoke about an attorney in Las Vegas who took a plea to fixing HOA elections for just about $3,000. It was, why did he do it? Plans for even more condominiums to be built in downtown Miami, and the fact that condominiums that have been taken over by bulk buyers can be terminated, kicking owners out who aren't even delinquent on their mortgages or condo assessments.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were very, very surprised to learn about that last week. But how about a strange update to that attorney who actually pled guilty in Las Vegas last week? That attorney, believe it or not, was found badly beaten in a Las Vegas neighborhood, and police aren't sure whether or not it has anything to do with the ongoing investigation. Now, interestingly enough, only about 10 people at this point have taken pleas, but prosecutors are saying that dozens of other people are expected to take a fall, including lots of judges and police officers. And I'm kind of guessing that this beating may be a message being sent to other people who have agreed to roll over and testify against the other co-conspirators. But we will wait and see what the police eventually have to say about it. But as we said again last week, Karen, a few years ago, the trend was to convert rental units into condominiums. But the trend since the market's gone sour has been to do the reverse and convert condominiums back to rental units. And again, this only happens because the law used to require all 100% of the owners and their mortgage companies to agree to terminate the condo. But of course, in catering to developers like our legislature normally does, the legislature changed that number to only 80% of a unit owner vote needed to terminate the condominium. So now lots of people find themselves out.
Hey, you know, Eric, before we move on, I just want to say that, you know, there's no way we can know that this beating of the lawyer in Vegas is related to his plea. I mean, since when do you need a good reason to beat up a lawyer?
That's true.
Hey, well,
very good point.
Yeah, all right. But getting back to, you know, legislation and or the lack thereof, it seems that, you know, this is another example of legislation that is just not in the best interest of unit owners, but only developers, you know, basically destroying the way you run a building because only 80% of the unit owners decide that's the way to do it. But I understand today we're going to talk a lot about changes that may be helpful, but that the community association member party is proposing in order to promote you know, happier and healthier unit owners and HOAs.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about that a lot. But now that you bring up the beat up the lawyer point, I'm just wondering if we started a Save the Lawyer Fund. here on the show. How much money do you think we'd collect, Karen?
Ooh.
I don't think we'd get too far.
Ooh, I don't even want to guess.
Yeah, I think we'd be struggling, huh? All right, but that's right, Scott. To walk us through what the Community Association Membership Party is trying to accomplish in Tallahassee this upcoming legislative session, we have a special guest in the studio with us today, and that is Milena Macias, president of the Community Association Member Party. Welcome, Milena, to Condo Craze and HOAs. Glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Eric. I'm delighted to be here
All
with
right.
you.
Great, great. Now, let me ask you something. How is it that a New York lawyer got wrapped up in this Florida condo fiasco? What made you decide that all this craziness in Florida community associations is kind of a cause that you wanted to take up and that's worth fighting for?
Well, you know, I own in a mandatory community association, and I think it's important that the lawmakers hear from owners that own in the mandatory community associations to understand where the owners are coming from, not just from the associations. I am part of this party because I believe in it, because I believe that we need stronger regulation, which I really call consumer protection, because I don't think we have enough consumer protection out there for the homeowners right now. I believe that we need more education for the communities, because I don't think that the communities are really understanding that their volunteer boards are really running small businesses and corporations, which may lead to their detriment. And I believe that these changes are necessary because I think it's very important to stabilize Florida's economy.
Yeah, I've always said that that's very true. A lot of times, you know, again, there's no requirement that unit owners are lawyers in their real day-to-day jobs, or accountants, or have ever run businesses, yet they find themselves, a lot of them, actually sitting on a board that have seven-figure budgets. So, you know, they should at least be required, the proposals you're proposing, to at least have some education, you know, learn a little bit about the law. It can't hurt. You know?
No, I don't think it can.
Well, practicing in New York, I would guess that you actually didn't do much condo litigation before getting to Florida. So this is kind of a unique path that you're following.
Absolutely. But my view is that HOAs and condos really follow the basics of nonprofit corporations. You know, there's board governance, there's a breach of fiduciary duties. And as a condo owner and looking at different condos that I own, I can see from one condo to the next where a board is breaching their fiduciary duty. And so I think that that's really just the basic of nonprofit corporations.
Yeah, now I understand, ironically, you teach ethics as well as a professor.
I do. I love teaching legal ethics because I am extremely concerned about the lack of legal ethics that I have seen in the profession lately.
Legal ethics and condominium law. What do they call that, Scott? An oxymoron?
Oxymoron.
An oxymoron, right? Well, coincidentally, in regards to ethics, Scott and I were just speaking on the show last week about the Florida Supreme Court's new rule, which basically requires new lawyers to swear to be civil to one another. Isn't that right, stupid?
Sure it is, dummy.
Yeah, see that? We follow that to the T. But how did you get interested in taking on the cause, really, of, you know, condo and HOA owners?
Well, you know, I'm an avid real estate investor, and I've been investing in Florida for about 25 years. Many of the issues that you deal with on your show and the experiences that my friends and neighbors in different communities have had. Owners in different communities have called me because, number one, I'm a lawyer, and, you know, everyone calls a lawyer for free. And number two,
really?
Yeah, that's what they're telling me. And number two, because they know that I will sit down and listen, and if I can find something wrong, that I will tell them where to go. What I saw in many cases is that despite people going to the Division of Professional and Business Regulation, that the state's efforts were not enough, that the regulations were not enough, and I knew we needed to do more, and so that's why we are on this.
Yeah, well, you know, I've said this a million times. The investigators at the state level, I think, quite frankly, they really do mean well. It's just that they're understaffed, and, you know, God knows how many complaints they have to deal with. So obviously they concentrate really, I would guess, on the most gross violations of the law. But in terms of trying to rally the troops down here, I've been saying on the show for a long time now that our state is, you know, kind of full of different factions. You got Democrats, Republicans, independents, Tea Party members, the pro-lifers, the pro-choice people. You got gambling proponents, the anti-gambling establishment, and the list really goes on and on. But I've always said the largest and most powerful coalition in this entire state could be and should be people who live and own in Florida community associations. If all of these people put aside their differences and banded together and voted as a group, they would instantly become the single largest and most powerful voting bloc in the entire state of Florida. Think about that.
Oh, I agree with you, and I think that the positive changes are coming, and I think that the people who live in the condos and the homeowners associations will remember the politicians who helped them in this regard. And I don't think it matters if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you live in an association, you should be entitled to some sort of consumer protection.
I agree completely. Why don't we do this? Let's take our first call. Lisa from Boca.
Hi, Lisa. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Being in an association is very new to me. I've moved to Florida from New York. And I'm not used to all of these laws to follow, living in your own home.
Okay.
The problem is, I'm wondering, is there any kind of a procedure that there has to follow to review HOA finances by, like, an outside accountant, if you personally feel that your money's not being spent the appropriate way, if you're seeing that there's, like, handwritten receipts and reimbursement checks for board members?
It's actually,
I don't think that's
okay. In terms of finances, you're actually asking this question at a very good time of year, because as we teach at our seminar, both condominiums and HOAs are required at year-end to provide what's called a financial statement to all of their owners. And depending upon the size of the budget for your association, that's going to depend upon just what type of financial report is required for that association to prepare. Associations with budgets of $400,000 or more, they even have to prepare like a full-blown audit where they literally have a CPA firm reviewing every single dollar that was spent, all receipts, all expenditures, and then they give the unit owners upon request a copy of that audit. So, yes, don't think that you're in the dark here. The associations are mandatorily required to let the unit owners know everything that comes in and everything that's spent. No two ways about that. Okay?
Now, if you have to request certain documents, specific receipts or financial situations regarding one issue, is the way to request that through certified mail
yes.
to the management company?
100% do it through certified mail, return receipt requested, and in an HOA, they have to give you access to those records within 10 days. Okay? Lisa, we got to go to our first break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the legislation that the Community Association Membership Party actually is proposing. And if our listeners want to follow along during the show and get some more info during the break, just go to www.camp2012.net. Of course, we'll also take all your calls on anything and everything in the condo and HOA world. Again, give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
FTL. I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer, Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We also have a guest in the studio, Melinda Macias, president of the Community Association Member Party. And we see you, Alice and Harry, on the phone line. We want you to hold on for just a second. We want to talk about our wonderful free seminars.
Yes, exactly. And first, I just want to thank the board of directors at Captiva Lakes Condominium in Kendall for allowing us to teach the Condo Craze board certification course at their association this week. Scott, tell everybody when the next one is.
Our next free Condo Craze board certification seminar at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood is now scheduled for January 26, 2012. And you can register for that seminar by going to www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Now, that's all spelled out, www.condocrazeandhoas.com. And for our neighbors to the north, our next board certification course is in Orlando in just 2 weeks on December 3rd at 1 p.m. at the Hard Rock Hotel up there in Orlando. It's right next to Universal Studios. So you can also go to that seminar by visiting the show's website. Again, www.condocrazeandhoas.com.
Yeah, and I can tell everyone also that for the Orlando seminar, we modified the material slightly to also teach a lot of HOA law because of the fact that there are more HOAs, again, in that area than there are condominiums. So HOA members, feel free to attend, and I promise you're going to learn all about what every association now needs to know in light of the Cone case. We'll talk about association budgets, which are out obviously important this time of year, again, with financial reporting, fiduciary duties of board members, arbitration, mediation, and all the laws that have been passed over the last few years and whether or not they apply to you. There's going to be lots of coffee and cake and endless questions from the audience. It will be fun, like always, and at both seminars, we're going to be giving away lots of free prizes. There's going to be lots of food, and our sponsors will be there. And again, it's going to be a lot of fun, just like always. And now that we're smack dab in the middle of condo and HOA election season, it's real important to remind everybody, again, as of July 1st, the law now provides that you can become certified 1 year before getting elected to the board or within 3 months of actually getting elected to the board. So, again, a school of thought out there that says if you're thinking about running for the board in your upcoming election, why not take the course now and get certified? And you can promote that fact that you're already certified when you decide to run. And, again, great news for CAMS. The course provides 4 continuing education credits for all community association managers, and many, many CAMs attend the course normally with the board of directors that they work with each and every day, and they keep us attorneys on our toes at the seminar. So again, as Scott said, go to condocrazeandhoas.com to register. And before we went to the break, Malena, we were talking about the community association member party. Let's talk about the 6 proposals that you guys are trying to get passed and what you're trying to accomplish. Let's look at number 1 for a moment. Increasing the current statutory cap from 1% to 2% of the original mortgage debt that a bank is required to pay once a lender forecloses on a unit in a Florida community association and obtains title. Now, we talk about this at every board member certification seminar and how the Florida legislature passed this ridiculous law about a year and a half ago that said the banks now have to pay the lesser of 12 months or 1% of the mortgage rather than 6 months or 1%. And as we know, that law is a complete joke because the 1% cap kicks in all the time, and associations didn't get a dime more than they were already getting.
Hey, some people thought it was great.
Yeah, it was a complete waste of time. You know, what's your thought on that?
Well, you know, the banks are business people, and as business people, they're going to do the cheapest thing. We're asking the legislators to make the banks step up to the plate and increase the statutory cap from 1% to 2% to make it just a little bit easier for the associations to run their communities. All of our listeners, and including your listeners, know that the 1% cap isn't doing much, but they're not going to get paid on a unit that's in foreclosure. So if we can at least increase it by 1%, there's just a little bit more money coming into the association.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, we're obviously hoping that that gets through. And I'd love to see the names of any legislator who just doesn't have the strength to stand up to the banks and actually support that at this stage of the game in light of all the fraud that the banks have committed. And the money that they have cost this state, the least that they should do is increase the cap from 1% to 2%. I actually think it should be higher. But again, let's see which legislatures are in our corner and are willing to support that. On that note, how about we go to Alice in Lake Worth? Thanks for holding, Alice.
Hi there.
How are you?
Here's my question. How are you?
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I have a question because I'm overwhelmed by paperwork, but we have an aged account. Monthly
receivables
reconciliation.
Okay.
For who has not paid their maintenance that month. And I have a question. If any of the board people are on that list, are they allowed to be on that list? Or, I mean, are they allowed to be on the board and on that list?
In a condo association, if a board member is running a balance for 90 days or more, and 90 days does not mean 3 months of assessments. It doesn't mean, let's say, if you're paying $300 a month, it doesn't mean $900. It means carrying any balance for 90 days or more, you are off the board. You're deemed to have abandoned your position on the board. So the answer is it depends how long that board member owes the money.
Right. So if he does it on a continuing basis monthly,
and it's gone on for 90 days or more, you're gone. Okay?
Okay. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
I heard him. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Alice. All right. Harry, we'll be with you in a moment, but before we do that, let's look at number 2. During the pendency of any foreclosure action by the association against the unit owner, the unit owner must place the assessments for the condo or HOA dues into the court registry as they come due. And that's exactly what the current landlord-tenant statute allows for. failure of the defendant to place those the assessments into the court registry would allow the association to get a default against the condo, and the association would get be entitled to a judgment. I always thought it was a no-brainer.
I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, what you know, what should? Why is the community association member party behind that idea? Again, landlords have it. Why shouldn't the owners of in associations?
Well, you know, there are thousands of community association owners who lose their homes each year, and the consequences really are that the other owners have to pick up the slack for the owners who don't pay. So what's the harm in having delinquent owners do the same thing that renters are required to do and put their money in a registry every month? They're not waiving any defenses at all. But if they fight and lose, at least the association has some ability to collect, and they can at least pay their bills.
Right, exactly. I mean, what we see, you know, in the system right now is that unit owners fight, come up with these, you know, defenses, and after fighting it out forever, they wind up losing most of the time because a lot of the defenses, quite frankly, aren't on the up and up. And now that the association finally has this judgment, they're uncollectible. Then the unit owner packs up and goes, at least by requiring the unit owner to put the money in the court registry each and every month as it comes due. The association will have something to go after. At least that's how I always thought about it. But why don't we do this? It's about time to take our second break of the hour. Harry, we still see you there, and we promise to get back to you right after the break. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We're here with Milena Macias from the Community Association Member Party. Call in with calls for her as well. Again, we'll be right back after this.
HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We are taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We do see you there, Harry and Sharon on the line. Just hold on. We have a guest in the studio, Melinda Macias.
Melina
Macias, sorry. Yes, president of the Community Association Member Party. And we're talking about the DBPR maybe affecting HOAs.
Yes, exactly. Point number three that the Community Association Member Party is trying to pass is to finally allow the Department of Business and Professional Regulation to regulate and provide oversight, education, and an ombudsman for Florida homeowner associations, not just for Florida condominium associations. Now, what can you tell us about that, Melanne?
Well, currently, unit owners and condo associations have greater access to consumer protection help than those who reside in homeowners associations. We're trying to remedy that to include the homeowners, because my concern is that there are many boards out there who are exploiting the current situation of the meltdown of the property values, using the owner's money and in their position as board members for their own self-interest. And I think that regulation in that regard, and that is, I think, one of the greatest consumer protection programs that Florida can actually do, is to help those homeowners.
Yeah, well, I just think that at least condo board members at this point have someone listening to their complaints. And again, that's the division. And HOA members have nothing. And we hear that complaint time and time again at the seminar. There's not even an agency to call and literally ask a question to. And the condo ombudsman's office, I know, they've been answering some HOA questions, even though they're not required to. And there's simply no reason, in my judgment, to treat condos and HOAs differently, especially if these HOA owners are willing to pay the $4 per year for regulation. You know, it's not going to cost the state another dime. And as we learned from the condo situation, it's going to make the state money. So, again, to me, a no-brainer. On that note, how about we take Harry? Harry, thank you so much for holding.
Hello, can you hear me?
How are you, Harry?
I'm doing fine. First of all, I want to thank you guys for fighting for the homeowners and unit owners that really need somebody out there fighting for them.
Thank you, Harry.
And my question is, the board is discussing painting our building, which would nearly wipe out all our funds. We have 30% of our unit owners are in arrears, an assessment would be out. Isn't there some kind of fiscal responsibility not to spend all the money on a paint job?
Well, let me ask you this. Two things. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be reserving for painting. Did you not reserve?
Right. There's no reserve.
Okay. Did you vote each year did you waive the funding of a reserve account each and every year?
That's correct.
Okay. So the answer is then this. If the building needs a paint job, the building looks terrible, or the building perhaps is leaking and needs waterproofing and a paint job, your board of directors has a fiduciary obligation to keep that building looking good and functioning properly. And if it takes money to do it and you guys voted against the funding of a reserve account, then they have no choice but to get the money through a special assessment. But, yeah, they have an obligation. You know, if I live in that building, okay, I want it to look good and operate properly. And if the
But the deal is 30% of the people will not pay. So 70% of the people or maybe 60% of the people will have to pay for all the other people.
Well, yeah, that's true. What I can tell you is sometimes what we've done with associations is when we're handling the collections for an association, we kind of let the association know when we think the banks are going to wind up owning a lot of the units. Let's say we schedule it in our, you know, we calculate that in about 6 months out, let's say you have 20 units in collection, about 10 of those units will probably be owned by the banks at that time. That's
correct.
A good time to actually pass the special assessment when the bank owns the unit. Why? Banks have money. They're going to pay the special assessment. You know you're going to get paid from them. So again, school of thought out there, it may pay to wait a little bit. If it's not an emergency, wait, let the banks or force the banks to kind of move forward. And I can tell you this particular week, we've had a lot of success in our office in having the banks actually move forward. A lot of judges are becoming very cooperative and forcing the banks to actually do something and not sit on their foreclosures for a year or two or three. So, again, school of thought, wait until the banks actually own the units, then pass the special assessment.
First of all, the banks don't want the units. They haven't taken title to the units. The unit owners haven't paid in 5 years, and the banks have nothing to do with the units.
Well, let me say this, then. If you have units that haven't paid in 5 years, then you need to talk to us about your collection problems, because that shouldn't be the case. So, again, give us a call in the office. I'd be glad to talk to you about it tomorrow. 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, 855, the number 4, Condo Craze. And, Harry, on that note, we got to keep moving, but thank you very much for the phone call. All right. Elaine, I want to get back to point number 4 that you guys are trying to get past, and that's requiring Florida homeowners associations to utilize the statutory procedures that condos have to utilize for their annual elections in order to allow more Floridians the opportunity to participate in the governance of their communities in which they live in. And I think that while the overall condo statute, it may not be perfect, obviously we all know that, but I got to tell you, the section on voting is pretty good as opposed to the HOA statute, which basically lets the HOA make their own rules and regulations. So I'm certainly a big supporter of number 4.
Thank you so much. I think that the HOA election procedures mirroring the condo statutes will provide fairer elections, and it will allow more owners to participate in the governance in the communities where they live. You hear stories out there about boards remaining in office for years on end because a quorum of unit owners don't show up for the annual meeting. And this happens even when there are a lot of people interested in running on their board.
Yeah, I agree. This really should be a no-brainer. You know, what's the big deal in the legislature pushing this through? On that note, how about we go to Sharon in Pompano Beach? How are you, Sharon?
Thank you. I'm fine, thank you. Our HOA approved our budget. And in the contract of the budget, there is no mention of the management company. How does that work when you approve a budget and there is, no management company and possibly some vendors? What would that have an effect on, especially if you do not have a management company name?
Well, it doesn't make sense.
When you submit your budget.
Hold on. It just doesn't make any sense at all. If a budget is proposed and you do have a management company that you're paying each and every month, that budget must and shall include the fees that you're paying that management company. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Correct.
That actually has to be in there. And if it's not budgeted for, then you don't have a management company, period. I mean, then you shouldn't be spending money on it. Problem is, you probably have a contract.
I understand the contract expires at the end of the year.
Okay.
And bidding has not been, it hasn't been, or let's put it this way, we haven't chosen a management company yet.
I got you. But unless your board has said that we're not going to re-sign with a management company at all and we're going to be self-managed, then your budget absolutely should include a line item in there for management. That's really a no-brainer. Okay? They're required by statute.
In other words, if you are not going to be using the same one or you don't know who you're going to be using, there has to be something on that line.
If you know you're going to have management, then make a good faith guess and estimate. Okay?
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Sharon. All right, let's get back to number five, Melina, before we go to our next break. Just like for condominiums, how about requiring board members of Florida Homeowner Associations to become certified by taking an educational course designed to teach the fundamentals of Florida law governing HOAs? We teach condos by the now thousands we certify people, and I can't tell you how many HOA members show up to the course.
Smart.
Even though they know it's for condo owners and not for them, because they're dying to learn anything. They're dying to have some form of education. I mean, who can actually be against this? I don't know. What's your take?
My take is that they're running a corporation, and the people who are showing up to you and they're on the HOA, I think that they are brilliant. I think some of these volunteers that are running the boards right now may not know the law and don't want to learn the law, or they're ignoring the law. And you can't stand behind a business judgment rule, which allows, a board member to disassociate themselves from stupid decisions. If you want to be on a board, you want to volunteer, you want to help your community, take the time out and learn about what the law really is.
Exactly. What's the harm? I mean, the whole thing is, sitting there for 2.5 hours while eating some coffee and cake and actually learning a few things. And HOA members who have attended it really have thanked us incredibly. They really enjoy it. And again, right now there's a bill pending. Believe it or not, there is a bill pending. The legislature has heard us. And there's a bill pending that would, in fact, require HOA members to become certified. I'd certainly like to see that get passed. However, what I'd like to see taken out of the bill is still allowing an owner to become certified by signing that silly self-serving affidavit, because I can tell you, the board members who actually take the course, to them it's an insult if you have other board members who are allowed to certify themselves by simply signing an affidavit that says, I know everything, even though they didn't take a course. But on that note, why don't we take our final break of the hour, and when we get back, Ellie and Fred, we see you hanging there, and we'll finish up with Melina. She'll tell us what else the Community Association Member Party wants to accomplish. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
And HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro of Glazer & Associates. We are taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And let's go to Ellie in Boynton Beach.
How are you, Ellie?
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I live in an HOA community, and my question concerns agendas for board meetings. Agendas in our particular community are distributed anywhere between 24 and 48 hours prior to the board meeting being held.
Right.
However, at the last board meeting, three items that did not appear on the agenda were offered as new business, one of which included the expenditure of funds, which subsequently was voted upon. The residents at this time of the meeting were sparse in attendance and therefore did not know any information that was being debated as a new business item. My question is, how do new business items get on an agenda? What is the responsibility of the board to inform the residents prior to it being discussed and or voted upon?
Excellent. You spent time thinking about that question, too.
Woo!
I could tell.
Oh, I certainly did, but I have another one, but I can't do it today, so I'll have to wait my turn.
Well, we don't have an answer for you today, but thank you for calling. No, I'm kidding. All right, Ellie, bottom line is that The first part of your question was you indicated that agendas are normally handed out 24 to 48 hours in advance. That's the first problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, agendas have to be posted 48 hours in advance, not 24. Okay, and the agendas, the agenda can't just have an item on there. Obviously, what I'm hearing from you is you're concerned that they're throwing in a lot of things into the new business section and actually voting on expenditures of funds under the guise of calling it new business. No, absolutely should not, cannot be doing it that way. If there's going to be a vote on an expenditure of funds, it should be very specifically listed on the agenda. And unless it's an absolute emergency that they didn't have time to put on the agenda, if there's going to be, an expenditure of funds, then that needs to be listed separately and itemized on the agenda. But, you know, it's ironic that, you know, we're talking about this today because let's say you have a problem with what your board is doing, right?
Yes.
What can you do about it? That's the real question.
That's why I came to you.
Right. Other than hire a lawyer and actually go through either a letter writing campaign to your board or actually the filing of a lawsuit, what can you really do? And again, that's why the Community Association Member Party is saying that they'd like to see at least an agency for you to go to that you can complain to, that would have a complaint bureau just like the DBPR has for condominiums. So at least some investigator would be able to investigate that and issue a warning letter perhaps, you know, or some sort of advice to the association on the proper way. Again, we're not saying that we want it there to actually hurt the associations. We'd like a division to be there to actually give guidance to the association so that they don't do things like that. And unfortunately, HOAs don't have that. But you can take that answer back to the board and say that I think they should be itemizing it. Don't put things under new business and vote on it when the unit owners had no idea that that was going to be on the agenda. All right? But the phones are exploding, Ellie, so I'm sorry, but we got to move on to the next call.
I'll call back for the other question. Absolutely. Thank you, Ellie, very much.
All right. How about before we take the phones are nutso, but before we take our next call, how about we continue with the last thing, actually, that the Community Association Member Party wants to accomplish, and it's kind of exactly what we were just talking with Ellie about as well. Just like in homeowner associations, require certain minor disputes that arise in a condominium to first be mediated before being arbitrated or litigated in a court of law. I can tell you, you know, I've had the pleasure about 5 years ago of being appointed by the Florida Supreme Court as a circuit court mediator. And believe me, I always thought mediation is a great tool for resolving, you know, minor disputes and can definitely save owners and condos a lot of money. Here's one situation where the HOA has it right. They require these minor disputes to go to mediation first. You know, we all think that should certainly be the case in condos as well. What's your take?
Oh, I agree with you. I think that right now money is tight, and it's going to be tighter still if people are forced to litigate on something that really is a minor issue. You know, I'm a lawyer, and I can fight my battles, but forcing people to take violations of 718, which is really the condo issues, to court really just burdens the court. It's unproductive, and it really is costly. People don't have the money out anymore. They don't have the money. They're oppressed. They're frustrated. They're giving up hope. And what's worse is that the condo associations are using the homeowners' money to litigate against them. And I don't see that that's fair. And
yeah,
I think that's,
it's certainly,
you know,
one-sided. No two ways about it. But all right, tell us, where is the Community Association Member Party right now in their effort to get these six proposals passed? Is someone fighting the fight for us in Tallahassee?
Yeah, oh, yes, we are. The big news this week is that we hired a lobbyist firm from the law firm of Ackerman Senefort, who's going to be working very hard on our behalf to ensure that our requests become the law. And to be clear, we are expecting and demanding that these proposals become law.
Well, I can tell you the listeners on this show like to get involved and not just hear us talk. They don't like to just complain. And a lot of them are willing to get involved and help. So how can our listeners learn more about the Community Association Member Party and how they can get involved and where they can get some more information?
Well, thank you very much for letting me be on this show, and I'm very, very grateful to your listeners who are involved. I invite each and every one of you to contact me. I'm at Milena, M-I-L-E-N-A, at camp2012.net, and to follow our events, we have a very good website,
www.camp2000.net. Camp2012.net. Milena, it's been a pleasure having you on the show with us today. Thank you for telling us what the Community Association Member Party is all about and how we can all assist in getting much-needed legislation passed. Again, thanks for being a guest today.
Thanks, Melina.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, I think we got time for maybe one call. How about we go to Fred in Boca?
Hi, Eric. If there is no agency in Florida that can deal with HOA problems, I have a situation where the board is not following covenants. Can that be submitted to the HOA attorney for some kind of, you know, reconciliation?
The question is, can a unit owner pick up the phone and call an attorney that actually represents the association, and what's that attorney bound to do? We get calls every once in a while from unit owners who live in an association, even though they're not on a board, and we're certainly required to let the board know that if a unit owner raises a valid complaint, you got to let the board know, hey, we got a telephone call today, or we got a letter from a unit owner, and they raised the following issues, and, you know, they very well may be right here. What do you guys think about it? So, yes, you can write a letter to the association attorney. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get anything in response. That's the problem.
Okay. There is no agency as there is for condos then.
That's exactly right. There's nobody for HOA members to pick up the phone and call and complain to. There is no complaint division like the DBPR has for condominiums. And HOA owners, I can tell you, they come to our seminars and they feel they're completely in the dark. I mean, again, they don't even have real educational opportunities for them. And that's why we're very much looking forward to having the Florida legislature pass some new legislation, which would at least give them the opportunity to attend a class. You know, I think it's going to be a great thing.
Exactly.
But on that note,
thank
Fred, you got it, Fred. Looks like we've come to the end of another week. Whoever is left on hold, we apologize. We didn't get to your calls today, but the phones were nuts.
Yes.
Looking forward to seeing everybody again next week. Thanksgiving's this week, right?
Yes, we're off.
All right.
To have our turkey with Grandma.
All right. Everybody have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.